Hi, friend, and welcome to the Fruitful Podcast, where we share stories of faith, family, and fruitfulness. I'm Sherry Lynn Roodman, or in English, Sherry Lynn Roodman, and this podcast is something really special to me. Every episode features my mom, Lynette Steyn-Lorenz, and these are her original radio interviews, especially for Just Gospel Radio. And these are heartfelt conversations filled with wisdom, hope, and reminders that faith is found in the everyday. I wanted to share them here so they could keep encouraging hearts in new seasons and new spaces. Let's listen together to one of my mom's original conversations that still speaks so deeply today.
We had a conversation on, not parenting styles, that's today's conversation. We had a conversation on setting boundaries, and there are reactive ways of setting boundaries and proactive ways of setting boundaries. And the right way of setting boundaries is to actually be proactive in your boundary setting. That is the conversation we had last week with Lynette. And this week we are coupling that. Yes, it is a three-part series. I'm excited. So today we are talking parenting styles. Lynette, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am very well, even though it is so cold outside. Luckily, we've got warm hearts, so we are good.
Absolutely. Is it that cold outside? I haven't been outside since early morning.
It's a bit cold. It's not. I don't think it's as cold as yesterday. Yesterday, I thought it was really very cold. Not so cold today, but I hear this weekend, Saturday, it's going to be a terror.
No.
So please, listeners, keep warm. Prepare yourselves. Cook that soup for Saturday and just stay indoors and hide away from the ice outside.
Yes, yeah. Let's do that. Lynette, we are building on last week's conversation on proactive and reactive boundary setting for children.
Yeah.
And we're going to unpack parenting styles this week.
Yes.
And next week.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, what we're going to do is last week we spoke about proactive and reactive parenting. And sometimes there is a little place for reactive. If your child is in real danger, react. Yes. Don't wait. But the best style and the style that takes a lot of time, we said, was proactive. But then you teach your child some life skills and they will be able to make the decisions later on and know what is right and what is wrong.
Yes.
But I'm not going to repeat my whole thing. So please, if you're interested, go and listen to it. Now, if you want to lay boundaries for your child, there's different parenting styles that you can use. So that's what we're talking about today. Now, just to recap, we said, and we are a Christian radio station.
Yes.
And we take our cues and values and principles or whatever you want to call it from our life manual. The Bible.
Which is the Bible.
Yes. So we know in Proverbs there's a lot of references to disciplining your child and laying boundaries for your child and so on. So I'm not going to repeat that. You can read Proverbs 13 verse 24, Proverbs 23 verse 13, 14, Hebrews. There's a lot. So just you can go and read it there. So I'm not going to repeat that because we have limited time and we're already at a three-part series for this one. So today we're going to focus on the Minnesota research on parenting styles, and then next week we're going to talk about some more techniques that parents can use to set the boundaries and to enforce the boundaries and to develop their children in a positive way. So we know that children need to stay in boundaries. They feel safe when they're in boundaries. They know what is expected of them. They keep themselves safe. They don't push their fingers into electrical plugs and so on. So we know we need to do it. But there's no responsible parent on the planet who hasn't struggled with getting your child to obey. And it can be an excruciating experience sometimes. So how do you get your children to mind without losing your mind? Yes.
That's what we're talking about. Well, how do you get your children to mind without losing your mind? That's a challenge. And God's word has much to say about how we as parents can meet that challenge. It shows us how our parenting style can provide the kind of discipline that helps our children fulfill their responsibility. So if the most important thing for our children is to learn to obey, how and when and how should we do it? And when should we not react? So first, it's important to understand how your parenting style may be contributing to the problem of your child not behaving, especially in a culture that has made discipline a very dirty word these days. We see it everywhere. Some countries have banned using the rod, and even our life manual says that he who uses the rod on his child actually loves his child, and he who doesn't actually hates discipline and do not care.
You spare the rod, you spoil the child.
That's it. That's it. So we need to, but some countries, even it's against the law, but we're not saying to abuse your child. That's not what we're saying. We are saying to just to guide, and to your child needs to know what's going on when you use the rod, why you're using it, and cool down before you use it.
Exactly.
So that you do not abuse. The line is very fine there. So to speak of a parent disciplining a child today evokes images of unreasonable anger and brutal beatings, and that is not biblical discipline. That's not what the Word of God says. So I went to the books again, and I went and I looked at some research, and a sociologist named Reuben Hill conducted a study of thousands of teens and parents in Minnesota. So we're not just going to look at his research, but today we are going to focus on his research. Next week we're going to look at other researchers as well, but this week we're looking at Reuben Hill's research. And he broadly summarized four different parenting styles. Hill found that different parenting styles produce different responses among the children. Different researchers and writers vary and also sum up their disciplinary styles. And most of them we can fit into Reuben Hill's, but the ones that we can add to, like I said, we will discuss next year, next week.
Next week.
But these four styles that he is mentioning is firstly the permissive parent. Then we have the neglectful or uninvolved parent. And then we have the authoritative parent. And then the authoritarian parent styles. So we're going to look at them more closely. I'm going to explain them to you. And of course, referring back to our life manual, the Bible, we're going to see if we can find examples of each parenting style in the Bible. And that one was a bit interesting to me. I loved that. Okay, first one we're talking about is the permissive parent. These are parents who are high in love. Now, Reuben Hill, and I'm going to explain it just now again, and maybe we can put the chart up somewhere. I'm going to ask Malefa, the clever one with that, the chart up somewhere so you can go and look at it. But he plotted it on a chart of love and actually use discipline. The one high, the other one low, and he made four quadrants on the chart. So the permissive parents, these are parents who is very high in love but very low in discipline. So it's parents that really love their children, but they don't discipline them. They don't lay down the boundaries. They are called the permissive parents. Now, permissive parents are often nurturing and supportive, but they may struggle to set limits and enforce the consequences, sometimes prioritizing their children's happiness over structure and discipline. Now you can already see the red lights coming on here.
Because kids need structure.
Yeah. They may struggle to say no avoid setting firm limits and may not follow through with consequences for their misbehavior. They often prioritize children's freedom and self-expression, sometimes at the expense of developing self-discipline and responsibility. Now, listeners, just think for yourself, if this child grows up and they have never learned that there are boundaries and there are things that's allowed and not allowed, they don't learn about respect for other people. They don't learn about respect for law. I can do what I want. So if I'm not caught, I'm okay.
Exactly. And even if I'm caught, nothing's going to happen.
Nothing's
so going to
happen.
Consequences.
They don't learn about consequences for their actions. And I'm not going to point fingers, but look at adults around you and you can already see who is the adults that grew up like that as a child, that had the parents that did not lay down the boundaries. So let's look at the Bible. And see. The one that stood out for me like a sore thumb was Eli with his own sons, Hophnias and Phinehas. So go and read about it in the Bible. Read the story about it. He failed to adequately discipline his sons. And it's stated so nicely in the Word of God. Their sinful behavior he did not correct. And he just left them. So they started abusing their position at the temple. Because they were supposed to follow up Eli.
Yes.
And that just resulted in death. And the priestship actually taken away from Eli and his family. And it really wants to drive me up the walls if I think of this. The family was so blessed. God blessed them. And Eli was this priest. And if he just disciplined his child and was not the permissive parent, the blessing of the Lord would have been on his family for the generations to come.
Yes.
But he failed in disciplining his children. He neglected his children. He was the permissive, not just neglect, but he was the permissive parent.
He loved them, but didn't discipline
and
them.
And allowed them to manipulate him in so many ways because he didn't lay the boundaries. He wasn't consequent. He loved them more than he disciplined them. And the result was death on the family, blessing being removed.
Sure.
So parents, the permissive style is not a good style. It may sound very good if you think about it. I love my child and I allow my child to be happy the whole time.
I give them freedom to do what they want.
It's not what your child actually
wants.
Within
boundaries.
And it's not what your child actually needs.
Yes.
Yeah. And if we look at that, we see that the children grow up with very low self-esteem and feelings of inferiority. Let me explain it to you by an example. This young lady has got permissive parents. So they do not lie boundaries. So she goes to them. She's, let's say, 15, 14 years old. Mom, Dad, I want to go to the social event with these older children, say 18 year old. And mom and dad, just be happy. We love you so much. And they say, just go and be happy. Now she goes to this event and mom and dad is at home. And they think, well, we just wanted to be happy. So give her the freedom to experience what she needs to experience and make the choice for herself what is good and what is bad. And they let her go. She goes to this social event and she gets there and these other young people are much older than her. They act different because they're older, teenagers. She feels out of place because she wants to fit in some way. She's got low self-esteem, so she tries to do what they are doing. She tries to conform and she tries to be part of, and she tries things that's not
age appropriate.
Thank you. Age appropriate. And then actually inside she wished that mom and dad guided her. That's actually, if she's truthful to herself, that is what she's wishing for. So she grows up with this low self-esteem and feelings of I do not fit. And she does not have the security of her parents really backing her and loving her. So she grows up with a lot of insecurities. She feels that they do not love me enough. They love me enough to set me free, but they do not love me enough to guide me.
Yes.
To stand
to
up for me.
To correct me.
To correct me. So she feels unloved. She's not sure what the limits are, the social limits are. She's scared of messing up between her friends. So she tries to do what they are doing, but it is actually damaging her. So that is what's happening if you love your child so much that you are not setting boundaries for them and not disciplining them.
Sure.
So that's not what we want. We raise very unsure adults if we do that. Okay, next one.
Yes.
Is the neglectful parent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the neglectful parent is the worst of all four of Reuben Hill's combination. It's the kind of parent that doesn't express love, so low on love, and doesn't really care enough to discipline their child. So low in love, low in discipline.
Yo.
It is a lack of responsiveness to a child's needs and infrequent or absent involvement in their lives. So parents that engage in their lives, but then when they're too tired or they feel they're too busy, they just withdraw and the child needs to look after themselves and cope by themselves. It involves low levels of both demandingness or expectations and rules, and responsiveness, emotional support and affection. This is also when the discipline or the setting of boundaries is not consequent. The child's not sure where the line is, because some days I'm allowed to do this and other days I'm not allowed to do this. Because if mom and dad's tired, when they come from work, then I can watch TV as much as I want. When they're not tired and they've got energy to give me attention, then I'm not allowed to watch TV.
Yes.
It's bad. It's not good for me.
So it's parenting is based on the mood
of the parent.
In that day.
Yeah, yeah. So essentially, parents with this style provide basic food, basic needs like food, clothing, and shelter, but offer little else in terms of guidance, discipline, or emotional connection.
Sure.
And the harsh thing about this, sometimes children do not get enough food, clothing, or shelter because parents put other things above the needs of the child, like, for instance, their hobbies or very smart, expensive car to ride is more expensive than good clothes for my child, because my image is more important than my child's needs, basic needs. So neglectful parents are emotionally distant and provide little affection, warmth, or support to their children. And usually when a parent is putting something else as I want to say as an idol, let's say an idol in their lives, like for instance an addiction like alcohol abuse or maybe even smoking, which is more socially acceptable than some of the other addictions, but is also an addiction, or other addictions like for instance social acceptance. My social acceptance are more important than the care of my children, for instance. Then if they put those idols in front of their child, the child gets neglected. So it can be we're going to a social event and it's more important than that people see me and my social status and good, and my child must just be there. I don't want to see them. They must just be between the other children. And you don't look after them.
And they mustn't come and bother me.
No, don't come and bother me. Just be there. And even though the other children are bullying your child, you don't do anything because, oh, no, I'm too important, you know. And you see that.
And stop making a fuss. They're just playing. Stop making a fuss.
Yes.
Even though it's appropriate for them to make a fuss.
Because there's a problem. But the parents don't see that. because they are not socially or emotionally connected to their child, and they neglect their child. So these children tend to grow up with little or no lasting relationship with mom and dad, because when they were small, mom and dad was not there for the, for them. Consequently, they sometimes were there, and other times not.
It's
okay. So they don't have later on have an emotional connection with mom and dad when they grow up. They just want to get out of the house and start their own life because they do not have the support that they had to have when they were in the house. They feel forsaken. So maybe the neglect is not always intentional, because that's the way the parents grew up. Or they're just in the midst of their own trauma and lives and addictions and idols and stuff like that. But still, the effect on the child is the same. So not always they purposely desire to neglect their children, but they don't know how to deal with their own issues adequately. So they don't have any tools to be healthy parents to their children. So these children grow up with unbelievably deep emotional scars. I don't know where that one came from, but it's not me singing.
It is really not us singing.
Maybe it put an emphasis on the emotional scars these children grow up with.
Yes! So, and how it came in.
The only way to really reach these children is through Christ and getting them to know the Heavenly Father, because they do not have a positive role of their parents. So let's just again look at examples from the Word of God.
Yes!
Okay, the first one that jumped out of me to me was Ishmael, Hagar's son. You know, was not his choice to be born out of wedlock. It was not his choice that Sarah gave his mother as a concubine to Abram when she couldn't fall pregnant. So it was not his fault. But what happened? He was a loved little boy until Isaac was born. Then he was pushed out. So emotional and social neglect was definitely there, to such an extent that him and his mother was thrown out into the desert.
To say, find your way.
Find
you
your way.
You have enough food and water to last you 2 days.
Where daddy was there and loving them in the beginning, later on, left to themselves. So that was the one that jumped out at me, and you can go and read the effect on Ishmael of that. And then the second one that I came across and that I thought about was Jacob. And Jacob was the father of the nations, but did he love all his children the same?
No,
he was not. He favored one son much above the others. And what was the effect of that?
He made it known.
He made it known. So what was the effect? Neglect of some of his sons by favoring the one. And the result was that there was actually a lot of hate between his sons. And to such an extent that his sons also didn't have a social or emotional connection with him. And so much hate between them as siblings that they left their brother for dead and actually then sold him.
And sold him.
Because they saw that as the best option.
And say, let's lie to dad and tell him that he's dead.
Yes.
So
he
can
because
be the
Jacob
favorite.
Was actually a neglective parent to some of his children.
Yo.
Okay, next one, because we're running out of time.
Yes, we're quickly running out of time.
The authoritarian parent. This kind of parent doesn't express love and affection, but is very high on discipline. Now I'm immediately thinking about the sergeant or the corporal in the army again.
Yes.
So this parenting approach often uses or demand obedience without an explanation. You do as I say, but may use punishment to enforce their rules. Mistakes are often met with harsh punishment, and there's a focus on obedience rather than fostering open communication and understanding. We're not talking about this. You are doing as I'm saying. That is it. These parents may not explain the reasons behind their rules or listen to their children's perspectives. Limiting open dialogue. Parents often value obedience as a virtue in itself and may see it as a sign of respect. And they may often challenge their children and tell their children to do something just to see if their children will obey or not, even though they know it's not a proper thing to do.
Mm.
Just to test their children. They raise children who are provoked into rebellion. The bar is always high and the must are always abundant. So there's a strong sense, no strong sense of safety, because if I don't obey, I'm in trouble.
I'm in trouble.
So this kind of parenting isn't a style of parenting that promotes mm-hmm. communication or social or emotional connection with
no,
the parents at all.
Mm.
So communication between the parent and the child later on takes on the form of arguing and fighting, because the child is fighting for their own space, because they were never allowed to do that. And when they start getting older, they start to fight back because they were not allowed to give their own opinion later on. So authoritarian parents squeeze their kids until the kids can't wait to leave home. And as soon as they are old enough, they rebel and go against everything that they were told to do, and they didn't understand the reasoning behind that. So examples from the Bible, King Saul and Jonathan. He was very harsh, very strict on his son, and told him exactly what to do, even though it was not rational things he asked him to do. And Jonathan rebelled, and he had a much closer relationship with David. David and Jonathan, the relationship between David and Jonathan was so tight.
They were like
because
brothers.
They were like brothers, actually closer than brothers, the word of God says. But he rebelled against his father because he didn't understand his father's reasoning,
sure.
and he was just told to do things without explaining and knowing why as a child. So when he got older, he rebelled and he went with David.
Hmm.
Okay, the last one we're talking about
yes.
of the Reuben Hill research was the authoritative parent. This parent provides the best combination of love and discipline. So this parent is high in love and high in discipline. So they are compassionate but firm in their authority. That's where the name comes from, authoritarian parent. So they have clear expectations and boundaries while also being responsive to a child's needs and feelings. It involves a balance of warmth, support, and firm guidance, encouraging the child to develop independence and responsibility. Instead of simply demanding obedience, they explain the reason behind their reasoning and the rules and the consequences, fostering understanding and cooperation from the child. So the child understands why I can't do this and why I should do it that way.
And the consequences of not doing it.
Of not obeying, yeah. They create a nurturing and loving environment where the child can feel safe to express their own feelings and opinions. Parents encourage children to make their own choices and take responsibility for their choices, fostering self-reliance and confidence. Discipline is used as a tool for teaching and guiding rather than as a punishment, focusing on helping children to understand the consequences of their actions. So they have clear boundaries, but they are very loving parents.
Mm.
So everyone knows who the boss in the house is, because they know the boss is also accountable to somebody, that is the Lord.
Yes.
And they are accountable to the boss, but they understand why the boss is asking them something.
Mm-hmm.
So the connection between the parents and the child is very good. They respect each other and they honor each other's opinion. So the result is a child high in self-esteem, and they are also equipped with good coping skills and life skills for life. Mm. So examples from the word of the Lord.
Yes.
Is firstly, Elkanah and Hannah, the parents of Samuel. Mm-hmm. They loved him. They supported him. They gave him a loving environment to grow up in. They knew exactly why he was born. And after they dedicated him to God's service, they took him to Eli.
Yes.
Who was not a good father.
Absolutely
they took him
not.
To Eli because they dedicated him to God's service. Hannah still kept on visiting him and made sure he was okay. And of course, the other parents is Joseph and Maria.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus' earthly parents. They were really authoritative parents. They set the boundaries. That he knew what to expect. And when he was old enough, he had enough life skills and coping skills to go out into the world and start the work of the Lord. And that is what we want our children to do. Our children are only borrowed to us.
That is so true.
By the Lord. They're not ours. They burst to you on earth, but you need to bring them up so that they have enough coping skills and life skills to, when they're old enough, go out into the world and do the kingdom, the Lord's kingdom's work.
Mm.
So that's what we need to try and do. So that's my 2 cents on the Reuben Hill, Minnesota research on parenting skills for today.
And we continue this conversation next week as we discover more types of parenting styles. What? You know, sometimes when you read the Bible, you don't actually think of the types of parenting styles.
The Bible is actually very practical. We tend to think of it on a very high level, and I can't understand it. But it's actually, if you look at it into the content of it, it's very practical.
It is. Because as you're talking, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so true. Oh my word. And I read this. Oh my goodness. And what? Who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew? It really is our manual for life.
It's our manual for life.
And for living.
Yeah. So for the next week, read your Bibles, listeners. We're going to talk about it more next week.
Yes. And find those parenting styles. Read those stories because, listen, you are going to be gobsmacked, like on the lips and in the eyes, to say, Lord, but how is this possible? Lynette, thank you so, so much for today. I can't wait for next week. And we're going to read more Bible stories in relation to parenting styles. Because
yes.
I've never read it in relation to parenting styles. I was like, why is he being like this to his son? He's being mean. Saul is being mean to David. Why is Jonathan tricking his dad?
Now you know.
Now we know. Lynette, thank you so, so much. Until next week, I can't wait.
Until next week.
And just like that,
thanks for listening to
Planet Fitness. Has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The Fruitful Podcast, originally produced for Just Gospel Radio, used with permission. You can find more at fruitfulfig.ca/links or support the work at buymeacoffee.com/fruitfulfig. And remember, every fig has a season.